Good morning, Broadway family, friends, and brothers and sisters. Today's lesson or message is going to be about life's uncertainty and how they are actually God's certainties. It may sound as though that's contradictory, but hopefully as we go through this message, we'll have a clearer understanding of how life's uncertainties can and often are God's certainties. Now, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." How many times have you heard this world is out of control? Oftentimes. Sometimes it may seem that way with all the planned wars and for profit, for crime, drugs, alcohol, sexual crimes, divorces, financial catastrophes, natural catastrophes, etc. If we were to focus on the events of this world, it can become a continual source of depression. If we filter these events through the omnipotency of God, then we will realize that everything this world is enduring right now is under God's total control. And there's no such thing as anything under God's control being out of control. If it's under God's control, that's contradictory to say that it's out of control, because God is in control always. One of the great mistakes we make is that we view things from our perspective, and that is the perspective of a fallen man. If we begin to view things through the eyes of God, then we will realize whatever is happening is totally planned. There were many in the Bible who underwent situations which seemed to be very contradictory to the nature of God and may have perplexed them also. Let us look at some of the biblical characters who underwent these times of blind trials from their points of view, and did not understand what was happening. As we examine our current predicament, the COVID-19 virus should have all people doing introspection about their lives. We should all do that. Examine our lives. See to ourselves, have we done all that we need to do to draw closer to God and do His will on earth? It should be an opportunity for introspection for all of us as we deal with this catastrophe. Let's use it for our own good and for the good of God. We live in uncertain times from the world's perspective, but as Christians, we have the assurance that even if we do not know what is going on in the world, our comfort is the fact that God has everything under control. And no virus will ever go any further than when the Lord declares it has fulfilled His will. Yes, it's a fact that during every pandemic, there were Christians who succumbed to the disease simply because the world is real and we're wrapped up in it, in a fallible flesh and blood cloak, which all can easily be taken out by disease or any other calamity. We're merely human. Then once that happens, we are home with the Lord and safe forever from any further troubles. Let me repeat that. Once that calamity happens and strikes us and we're no longer earthbound, we are home with the Lord and safe forever from any further troubles. Until that time, it is not shameful if we take all our cares and concerns to the Lord and tell Him that we're frightened of the present situation. And since He is the God of all comfort, He will comfort you and give you a peace during this time that cannot be understood by the world. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:7. I want to offer you to you six people in the Bible who lived through uncertain times, but God remained in control. And we use these six characters from Scripture to help us as we try to traverse these uncertain times and the many calamities that befall us. Uncertain times, and because we have the Bible, we know that God was working behind the scenes for his glory and their greater good. God was working through calamity behind the scenes for these six characters, and for if they did that for them, he would do that for us, and for his glory and for the greater good. Keep in mind that these five people were just like you and me, and that they were believers in God and were his children in Christ. Even though it did not look pleasant when they were going through their times of testing and tribulation, nevertheless, their faith did not waver, and they kept their trust in God. Let's read this scripture, and then it'll be self-identifying. Job 13 and 15. Job understood this principle. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Job's trust in God was so great that even if God took him home, he would trust him for everything. Job's trust in God was so great that even if God took him home to be with him, he would trust him for everything. With COVID-19, even if we contract it, we must be like Job and trust in the Lord. An old adage says, he didn't bring me this far to drop me now. He's an ever-present helper. These are the times of testing for the believer. And maybe the Lord is doing a separation between those Christians who can be counted on and those who cannot. We don't know. I'm not talking about loss of salvation, because once you are truly saved, you cannot lose it. I am thinking that maybe after this virus has run its course, there may be time yet, and God will only place into his service those Christians who have shown faith in him in the presence of calamity. Those who have remained faithful in the face of calamity. I don't know that for sure. I'm just speculating. But we can definitely count on the fact that the Lord is working something out during these times, as he did in past plagues. Remember, this is not the first time the world has dealt with plagues. It also must be understood that plagues or pandemics are not a sign of the return of the Lord, but the only sign he gave us that right before his return, the sun would be darkened. When we see that, then we will look up, because our redemption draws near. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Matthew 24, 29. Another person that God impacted enormously, and we can use as an example for our faith, as an example of living life in turbulent times, was Noah. Genesis 6 and 14 says, make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms that shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without the pitch. Man had become very corrupt, and God had pronounced that the end of all flesh was before him. Noah had found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God commanded Noah to make an ark. Now, up to this point in history, there was no such thing as a flood, because the earth was watered by a rising mist, but the sins of man were very great, and God was going to destroy evil man. Now for 120 years, Noah had built the ark according to the specifications which God gave him. But did he really understand the reason for this undertaking? Did Noah really understand the reality that after he finished the ark, the animals would be brought to him to place on the ark, and then when the animals and his family were safe aboard the ark, the deluge came? Now, up until that time, the ark was completed. Noah had first faithfully executed the Lord's commands. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him. So did he, Genesis 6:22. Now, as for Noah did it on faith, because he himself had never seen what the Lord had promised, and that was a flood. God had promised a certain thing, and it came to pass at the appointed time. The next person I wanted to look at in their faith in God and in following God's instruction is Abraham. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Genesis 12 and 1. Here Abram was told by God to leave his native country, to go to a land that God would show him. So Abram departed. Notice how Abram obeyed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Genesis 12 and 4. Now Abram departed according to the word of God. And at this point, God did not tell him exactly where he was going, stepping out on faith. Abram was heading to an uncertain land because he had no idea where he was to settle down. Again, faith and following the word of God. Yet all the while, it was a certainty in God's plan that Abraham would be the originator of the nation of Israel, through whom the Lord Jesus Christ would come. To leave the land of Haran was a very uncertain thing to do. Yet from God's point of view, it was a certainty which would affect the lives of billions in the future through the Lord Jesus Christ. God sees our lives from the beginning to the end, yet he only reveals it to us in small amounts. The next character I wanted to highlight for our lesson today is Joseph. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him by the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Genesis 39:1. There was probably no one who had faced uncertainty more intensely than Joseph. Joseph was not only harshly treated by his brethren, but they sold him as a slave to be taken to Egypt. How uncertain would that be in your life? Because in those days, slaves were nothing more than chattel. And Joseph had faced the possibility that if he displeased his master, he would face torture as well as execution. Joseph could not see beyond each day as to what was happening in his life. Yet the uncertainties which seemed to be prevalent before Joseph's point of view were certainties in God's eye. God is always in control. Joseph had gained favor in the sight of Potiphar, and just when things seemed to be going right for him, Potiphar's wife had falsely accused him of sexual advances, and he was then thrown into prison. It seemed that with all Joseph had done, he now had to start all over again. Here was another uncertainty in the life of Joseph, but God's plan for him was well underway. God always has a plan, and he has a plan for each and every one of us. After being in prison for a while, Joseph had now gained favor with the warden of the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph. Again, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy
and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Genesis 39:21. It was in the prison where Joseph would make the divine connection which God had planned for him. See, sometimes the issues we go through and the difficulties we go through, God knows well in advance because he's laid it out. But we may be many times perplexed and confused. And that is the time we go to God in prayer and mention to him, and not just mention, insist that we know he's in control and that pray that his will be done. It was through the chief butler that Joseph would be introduced to Pharaoh. At that time, God gave Pharaoh the dreams of the impending famine in Egypt. And now God was about to exalt Joseph because he was faithful to God in all the uncertainties that he faced. And yet it was all the uncertainty, it was all the certainty of God. Let me repeat that. The uncertainties in our lives, in many instances, in most instances, in all instances, is the certainty of God. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou. Thou shalt be over my house in accordance unto thy word, shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." Genesis 41:39. You see, sometimes when we're going through really difficult times, God will lift us up and exalt us to places we never imagined, just as he did with Joseph. Always keeping in mind that facing uncertainty in the will of God is a definite certainty in the plan of God. Even in uncertain times, Joseph was faithful to God, especially in the times he did not understand what was happening. But his faithfulness yielded him one of the most prestigious positions in all of Egypt. Faith, faith, faith. Believe in God. Believe that God wants only what's best for you. Do you think Joseph would have attained that position if he yelled and blamed God for all the seemingly bad things were happening to him? I can answer that no. In all probability, no. He remained faithful to God. I think we know the answer to that. Sometimes God keeps us in a state of uncertainty until we completely trust him. And then, when faithlessness is gone, he can then work his plan for us, through us. Job 1:18-19 reads, "While we're still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they're all dead. And I am the only one who's escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and their daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house." Probably when it comes to personal suffering, no one is more famous than Job. He had lost his family, his flocks, and his servants. It was a great time of uncertainty for Job, because in that period of history, calamity on that scale would have meant that he had become an enemy of God, and that is why he suffered like that, many of his friends would imagine. Yet this was all in God's plan. And it was a certainty with God that Job was not to be forsaken, but only to be tested. Tested. Let's make a note of that. Sometimes God tests us. Many times God tests us, as he did with Job. Job had no idea that there was a spiritual battle going on in heaven at that time between God and Satan. Satan thought he could bring Job to the point of cursing God But God knew that Job would do no such thing. In all of this, Job did not sin, nor foolishly curse God. Job 1 and 22. Job suffered the greatest loss a human can suffer. And that was the loss of all 10 of his children. Yet he did not blame God or make any accusations against God. Job was a saved man and kept his testimony during the entire ordeal. All the uncertainties that Job would face at the hands of his four friends were still ahead of him. And even through their flawed direction, Job kept his testimony. The uncertainties Job faced on a natural and human scale were the certainties of God. Let me repeat that. The uncertainties Job faced on a natural and human scales, the uncertainties, were the certainties of God who upheld his servant during this time of testing. Job was not forsaken, although it looked like it. Keep in mind that he did not have the information we have about what went on behind the scenes while he endured the many calamities and the suffering. He kept his faith in God. Let me just briefly summarize now. We've looked at five individuals from the scriptures who at times in their lives had faced major fears and uncertainties. It seemed like circumstances which were beyond their control would turn out to be to their detriment. Yet those very uncertainties, according to their point of view, were all God's certainties. Our uncertainty, let me make a mental note there, our uncertainties in many instances are God's certainties that turned out for the good of the individuals and had also affected for the good of those around them. Whenever we face uncertain times in our life, we must realize that as children of God, he will be working something in our lives. Every aspect of our lives are under the control of God. And even those multiple trials may hit any of us at one time, they will never cause our life to go out of control. Even though it may seem it is that we could possibly take no more. As God guided the trials of the five we mentioned, we saw all their endings were to the glory of God. As we continue to face trials, God will guide us through them and bring us out victoriously. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Psalm 48 and 14. Trials are part of the life of every believer, but it's how we approach those trials that will determine how long we may be in the furnace of affliction and the outcome of those trials. If we follow the principles of the five people we studied earlier, we will see one overriding thing among all of them, and that was their faith in God never wavered. Again, no matter the trial, their faith in God never wavered. Even though they were not sure what was happening in their lives, their faith never wavered. If we continue to have faith in God during times of trials, then everything else will fall into place in God's timing. Now, in preparation for this particular message, I also went to a commentary I want to share with you. One of Dr. Burton Kaufman's commentaries of the Bible offers this insight. The throne of grace is the throne of God, and certain reflections on that subject are appropriate. Number one, the existence of such a thing as God's throne reveals that the universe is a controlled and governed entity, that there is a center of power and authority, called here the throne of grace. The universe is therefore not like a clock left to run down. God is upon the throne constantly. Number two, the administration of all things is personal. Not a computer, but a throne. not blind, senseless matter, but a person. Not merely law, but the will of the one on the throne, the Lord himself. Such a throne, with all its undergirdings of righteousness and justice, mentioned in Hebrews 1, 8, and 9, revealed that hostility between God and evil, showing that eternal justice will prevail infinitely throughout the whole of the universe. How reassuring. That the throne here is the throne of grace, makes the control center appear as a source of mercy for fallen and sinful people. Called also the throne of God and of the Lamb, Revelations 22 and 3. How wonderful, from this valley of sorrow and death and sin and shame, to lift the thoughts of the Spirit toward that throne where the Lamb, or sacrifice, is seated and clothed with the mantle of total authority. Boldly, people are commanded to approach the throne of grace. Why? Why are people commanded to approach the throne of grace, regardless to the circumstance? Because man's very nature in the person of Christ is seated there. He's tested every temptation, passed through every sorrow. Jesus knows what we go through. Out of his loving heart flows an eternal tide of love, sympathy, and understanding of humankind, suffering the dreadful trials of their tests. And he eagerly anticipates the entry of his beloved children into the joy of the Lord, Matthew 25, 23, demanding only that they love him, John 14 and 15. He is able to save them who come unto him, Hebrews 7, 25. And in conclusion, let me close with this prayer. Heavenly Father, let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in times of need. To all of you, may God continue to bless you, protect you, and keep you close. In all times of uncertainties and doubt, know that God is still in charge, and know that he loves you and wants only what's best for you. In Jesus' name, amen.